great to be back. I love Canada. I love our country. I think we have a fantastic country. I seriously do. And I wish there was snow. I do. Yeah, it's December. No, it's December. It should snow. We want snow. About 6 inches. About 6 inches. Yeah, but I'm here, and I'd like to see snow. I love our seasons. I love who what we are. I love what we have to offer. We're a great country, and I only want 6 inches. I can shovel that, right? So, anyway, well, as you know, we lit the second candle today for Advent, and Advent. It's a tradition. It's not a biblical thing in the sense of, you know, the Bible says that come December we remember the four different themes of Advent. It's a tradition the church started. It's about anticipation, this whole thing of waiting for the Messiah to come, which is really the whole scripture, the whole faith is based, centered around Christ, is it not? That's what our center is. That's what we sing about. That's who we pray to. That's who we're disciples of, and that's who we model. The themes that we cover in Advent are hope, peace, joy, and love. Now, for our Sunday services, we just had to switch that the first and the fourth Sunday, which doesn't matter. You know, you can do those themes either way. But this Sunday is about peace. Interesting thing. You think you know the definition of what peace means, but for me to start this whole conversation. To craft this out and to figure out, you know, what do we speak on? Because it's easy to speak on. You get Christmas cards that say, you know, joy to the world, peace on earth, goodwill to men, and all that stuff. And we talk about it, we say it. And the world, you read it in the news, you know, we want peace in the Middle East and peace here and peace there. We're looking for it. And for me to start off this, I had to ask the question. I had to ask God and myself a question. And the question was simply this. If Christ came and brought peace on earth, I had to ask him, where is it? Because I don't see it. I don't see peace. Not my definition anyway of what it is. Help me out. And, you know, and you hear about that. You know, we had the shootings in Paris just not too long ago, and then the shooting down in California just this past week, and it's like, there's fear. You can feel the fear in the air, right? You can feel it. You read the news. You can taste it. It's like there's that scent, and it was like, where is that? And then, you know, you start thinking in Scripture what Scripture says, and I read in Isaiah. You know the verse we use at Christmas time, Isaiah. I think it's 9, where it says, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. Right. And then he will be the Prince of Peace. But Matthew records Jesus, quoting Jesus, saying, nice music. Matthew recording Jesus saying, don't imagine that I came to bring peace on earth. Don't imagine that I came to bring peace on earth. Because you want to go, Jesus, did you not read Isaiah? Like, that's prophesying about you. Well, you got to ask those questions. I hope you, when you read your Bible, when you think, when you logic things out, you ask God the questions. Because you're not going to stump God, right? God's not going to go, oh, never thought of that. Okay? That's us that don't get things. He gets it fully. So you can have freedom to ask any question you want of God. It's good. It's healthy to do that. But you have that. Jesus said, I don't imagine that I even came to bring peace to the earth. I came not to bring peace but a sword. And that's found in Matthew 10, verse 34. So, where do you start? You start by looking at the different words in both the Old Testament and the New Testament that refer to peace. And basically when that word that you read, peace, what it's talking about a sense of soundness, a sense of contentment, a sense of completeness, It's talking about prosperity. It's talking about, as far as relationally goes, no war, no dissension among people, right? It's the opposite of war and dissension. It's a sense of contentment, of tranquility, is what it's talking about. So when Scripture talks about that, that's what it's talking about. And yes, it's between people, but the primary thing in Scripture when it talks about peace is peace between humanity and God. That peace that's the peace it's talking about. Not that we have peace at our home where we have our, you know, can put our feet up and watch TV and everything and the kids are behaving and all that good stuff. Not that peace. It's talking about something much more serious, and it's the separation, the animosity, or you know, that existed between humanity and God, the separation that occurred within relationally, and that peace comes that is no longer there. And Paul got that all the time, and I refer to Paul a lot in Ephesians chapter 2. Whoa. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14, 15, and 16, Paul writes these words, and you can read them up there on the screen. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. Now I'm going to stop there. But that represents the animosity that existed between Jews and Gentiles was very tangible, and there was very hate-filled, and represents the animosity that covers this earth, races and that against each other, people against each other, this unrest that is so prevalent and always has been. Paul writes that Christ broke that wall of hostility down, that wall that separated us. And there's that wall of hostility between other people, but primarily between us and God, that Christ broke down, that he broke that down when he took on sin and he did away with it. And once and for all. And it says here, Paul says, he did this by ending the system of law and its commandments and regulations. Pay attention to that one. Because the law, regulations, the commandments, and all that, when you read it, and Paul says the law kills. But when you read that, it's because the law will tell you, don't touch this, don't touch that, don't associate with them, don't stay away from them. It kills. And Christ put an end to this animosity that existed by coming together, and he brought the Jews and the Gentiles together, and he formed a new person, new people from that. That's what Paul is talking about in that passage. So then the silly question is, why don't we have peace? Because we don't have it. It's not even around. Well, there's glimpses of it. You get bursts of peace. You see it. But it's overall, it's like unrest. It's like this tension that exists, right? Let's cut right to the chase. You know why we don't have it? I'll give you the answer right now. Selfishness. I'm selfish. I am. That's why you don't have peace. Consumerism feeds that selfishness. Because I want what I want when I want it. Right? And when I get what I want when I want when I want it, I'm happy. I'm a good, nice person. Great to be around. When I get my way, I am so good. Right? But when I don't get my way, I can become a little owly. Okay? But you see, you go, oh, really? Yeah. Okay, so imagine this. If I got you to close your eyes and imagine your family, whatever that looks like. Imagine your family. Christmas dinners are coming, right? Imagine your family getting together. What would it take for there to be peace in your family? And I bet you, if you answered that question, your naturally, your mind at the back, if we could dig down into the back of your mind is going, well, if Aunt Mabel would, you know, if my brother would, you know, if those little brats of my nephews, if they would, if my dad wouldn't be such a jerk, it's all external, right? I'd have peace if everything conformed to me, because it's about me. I'm at the center of my universe, and I want things my way. And when you're rude, I'm unhappy, and I don't have peace. Right? That's what we want. That's what we want. The funny thing is, the weird thing is, your Aunt Mabel, she's thinking the same thing about you. You ask her what peace would look like, she's going, gosh, you know? Jason would just smarten up. Right? And we're all thinking this thing, and of course there's no peace. There is none. Because we have this thing, it all centers around us. The thing is, though, that core, that malignant growth of selfishness bleeds out into our world. How do we get peace in the Middle East? Depends who you ask. Ask the Israelis. They would say, get rid of the Palestinians. We'd have peace. Ask the Palestinians, get rid of the Israelis and give us back our state. We'd have peace. Right? And we all have this thing. If we had this thing, how could we have peace in the world? Well, we'd have peace if we were all Christians. No, we wouldn't. No, we wouldn't. Look what we divide over. Not coming back here. I don't like the music. And that's been forever. That's been all. It's at the core of it is this thing of selfishness that's down here. That's what's at the core of it. You see, you hear it. We'd have much more peace in this city if, you know, the homeless would just go away. All you have to do is suggest to put on somebody's street a shelter or a group home. You find out who's in, who's out. Oh, I don't want that on my street. You know what the problems that's going to come? You see it. You see it. It's this selfishness, right? People just, you know, it's this thing. If everybody would just behave according to my standards, it'd be great world. Which is ludicrous thinking, but that's how we think. That's how we think, that's how we view, and that's how we go about things. And it's weird, but it's so me, right? It's almost this belief, too, that I am owed peace. You owe me a peaceful life. You better give it to me. I don't want to be upset. I don't want to be stressed. We miss it. We miss it. We so miss it. Because that attitude is passive and it's deadly. It's deadly. You know why? We just sang today that we're disciples of Jesus. I'm a disciple of Jesus. That means he's my rabbi. That means I follow him. I walk how he walks. I behave how he behaves. I look at life the way he looks at life. That's what I'm supposed to do if I'm a disciple. Also, who did he send to us? Who did he give us when he ascended? Holy Spirit, right? You get the prize. Right? The Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit within us. And what's a natural fruit of the Holy Spirit? Peace. Peace. We have it. There's nowhere in Scripture where it calls us to be passive, to wait. Nowhere does Scripture say we're to sit and wait for this peace to come? Nowhere. We are to be proactive. We are disciples. We are to lead ourselves. We are to make the difference. We are called to be influencers. And you are called to be an influencer. You can do it. We are called to bring peace. If we have the Spirit of God in us, we bring peace. We don't wait for it to come. That's a tough one. That is like a sword. Ouch. Because we like to, that's consumer is, make me happy. And if you don't make me happy, I'm going to go to another store. Right? I don't like Bell. I'm going to go over to Rogers. Why? Because you don't give me what I want. Right? That's what we're like. Right? No, we're disciples of Christ. We can go and we can be bringers of peace. We can do it. We can do that. I model my life after Jesus. I live like he lives. I know his Spirit's in me. I know I have that fruit, and I can bring peace to it. The peace that Christ talks about is this. He says, John quotes this. John quotes Jesus saying, I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. Mind and heart. Here's the peace. This is the peace he brings. It's your internal peace. What's going on in your head? What's going on in your heart? Are you at peace here? What determines your peace? Is it all the outside things that are going on in your life? Is your peace dependent upon how I behave? Or do you have internal peace, regardless of how things go? Because was the world Jesus lived in, was it peaceful? Not a chance. Not a chance. Was he at peace? Very much. Very much. How do we know? We get glimpses of it. Look when he was brought on to that ludicrous kangaroo trial, right? And you can correct me if I'm wrong. It was the high priest and the other religious leaders that were questioning him, right? And telling him blaspheme. And one of them, didn't one of them spit in his face? Yeah, one of them spat in his face. Now, I believe Jesus was strong like a bull. I believe he was strong. Well, he's a walker. He's. I believe he could have laid off and slugged that priest, no problem. No problem, but he didn't. He had, because there was peace in here. Right? Peace in here. That's where the peace is. That's why he could say, he didn't have to retaliate back. There is peace in him. And he says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. In other words, he says, don't be spun out by all the external stuff going on. Because your peace that you have is found within here. It's here. It's here, guys. Because the fact of the matter is, I changed this. And it changes the situations I find myself in. It changes. Every situation you come into, you are faced with. Everything. You can choose to bring peace. Did you know that? You can choose to do that. You can choose to put it on or put something else on. Your choice. Your call. My call. Right? It's like wearing a jacket. It's like I come into a situation and I get home and things aren't going the way I want them to go. I can wear that jacket. Should have brought a coat rack in here. I can wear that jacket or I can wear this one. I can be grumpy and I can put grumpy on. Or I can put on peace. Well, I can put it on. You can too. Let me tell you something. You're traveling down the 401, someone cuts you off. And we laugh about that, yeah, I flipped them a bird or whatever. You flip them the bird because that's your choice. You flip them the bird because that's what's going on inside of you right now. That's a reflection of what's going on inside of you. You're not at rest. You're not at peace with yourself. And so a situation happens and you... and it triggers. Triggers. But we can be the fragrance of Jesus, wherever we go about. And we can bring peace into situations that are tense. We can do that at our home. We can do that at work. We can do that in our world. We can do that in how we talk and how we speak to one another. We can bring peace. My peace does not come from the externals, things that go on in my life. Your peace doesn't... If you're waiting for everything to balance out in the externals, forget it. You're beat. You're done. You're done. You gotta have peace in here. That's what Christ came to bring, peace. That's what he came to bring. He's dead now, but there's this Methodist pastor I like. He has some wise words. And he talks about how we view people. And similar to putting a jacket on yourself, he says this. He says, look at the person who is here. We can cover that person with whatever thoughts we wish, but that won't get us a different individual. Person who cuts you off, you can choose to see them as an idiot that shouldn't have a license. Or there's nothing stopping me from choosing to think that's a person who is stressed right out, who knows what's going on in their life. They may be like so spent and so, maybe they just got laid off. Maybe they're wife just left them, or their husband just left them. We don't know. And I can choose to clothe that person to view them however I want to view them. So just like I can put on in a situation, I can put on peace, I can view people in different ways. And I want to view people as Jesus did. Jesus saw every person as a human being that was worth everything. And he cared and he had compassion. When he looked at all the people that were being harassed and all that, I forget which gospel that's even in. It's in one of the gospels. And it says he looked out and he saw them. They were like a sheep without a shepherd. Right? A sheep, no one to care for them. And his heart broke. Jesus walked. It says he did everything he did. He did by the Spirit that was in him. He did by the Spirit of God, right? That's how he lived. That's how he lived his life, by the Spirit. He was a man of peace. He modeled it. And we are called to do the same. That's the cool thing. It's a cool thing. James gets it too. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace. See, so when you go into a tense situation at work tomorrow, go into your pocket, get a little seed out, plant it. Changes things. Changes things. Be a peace planter. Plant seeds. You got a tough situation with your spouse? Plant a little bit of a seed. Peace. I know it's hard sometimes. But do it. If your teenage kid is really ticking you off, plant a little bit of peace. See what happens. Watch it grow. Fascinating. We can do it. You can do it. You can lead yourself. You can choose to do it. We don't have to wait. We can choose to do it. One of my favorite stories And I got this when I was teaching Sunday school up in Ignace with April. And I would study when I was working. I would prepare for my Sunday school lesson because we had like grade two boys. And so nothing to do in policing up in the bush. So I would take my stuff out and prepare it. And I found this story, and it's a Jewish parable. It's called the Parable of the Spoons. And I think I've shared this with you guys before. And the parable goes like this. A man asked God about heaven and hell. And God said, well, I will take you to hell first. And he took him down the hallway to a room, opened the door, and the man walked in. And in the room was this beautiful banquet table with every delicacy imaginable there. And the aroma was intoxicating. It was so good. And the table was, everybody was around. There was people all around the table. But the people were emaciated and miserable and starving and they're famished. And it was just a miserable atmosphere in there, other than for the beautiful food that was there. And what the man noticed was they all had spoons, but their elbows couldn't bend. And so they couldn't get the food to their mouths, and they were starving to death. And it was just horrible. God said, okay, come on, come here. And he took him down to another room. He says, I want to show you heaven now. And he flings open the door. Flings open the door. It's an identical room. Beautiful banquet table. Chairs all around it. Food unbelievable. Most delicacies. The aroma was fantastic. And the people all around there were happy, and they were laughing, and they were healthy, and they were enjoying the food. And the guy noticed. Same room, same tables, same food, same spoons, and they couldn't bend their elbows either. And he goes, what is that? What's the difference here, God? And God said, in heaven, people feed each other. That's peace, how you look at one another. And unrest comes when, I'm not going to give you food. I got to feed myself. It's about me. You starve to death. You miss out on the food. You'd only learn to just put the spoon in. Feed you. And just feed you. And then you feed me. And it's great. Simple parable. So easy. So true, though, eh? So true. So we light that second candle of peace. Because Christ is peace. He is our peace. And he gives us that peace. On Christmas Eve, we light candles. We pass the candle right around, and everybody lights their candle. As a follower, Christ has passed that candle to you, candle of peace, and you and I are called to go and bring peace into our situations, regardless whatever that situation is. You can bring peace, and guess what? That will change the world. That does it. It's that simple. And you can do it. Okay? Okay. So I'm glad I asked the question, God, if Christ brought peace, where is it? It's here. It's here. Go. Go and plant seeds, Scott. Go do it. That's how I want to live. I want to live like that. Don't you? Start. Just do it. Just do it. Don't overthink it. Just do it. Okay. Let's pray. And then let's send you out of here so you can go be bringers of peace.